We're very happy to have with us Mr. John O'Hara, who is working in presently with our Research and Statistical Department at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Headquarters. Many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with Mr. O'Hara. He's the one, at least you hear from him once a year, where he asks you, in fact, really twice a year, he asks for the statistical figures for the statistical yearbook that comes out of his office that we're asked to measure our growth or decrease in our ministries. And then he also asks you to, on behalf of the Secretary of Senate, to check to make sure that your name, address, telephone number, office, church, and whatever is correct for the annual that is posted. So we are very happy to have John O'Hara. You are familiar with some of his work. I refer to that document in my presentation on the growth of statistics, the change in statistics among black and other ethnic ministries. And he is here to help us understand how we can use statistics and research to help us be more effective in the black community. Let's warmly welcome Mr. John O'Hara.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope everybody's a little bit more wide awake than I am this morning. I, like Jim in my college days, studiously avoided 7:30 a.m. classes. However, be that as it may, I think what we can do this morning hopefully will be very productive and helpful. Even if I could wax eloquent at this hour of the morning, I don't think I have the time to. So I'm going to cut short my formal presentation time so that we can get to some more important things. What I'd like to do this morning is to spend our time together in effect workshopping a case study of a local church here in St. Louis, hopefully to do two things. To help you kind of galvanize what you've heard prior presenters say, and hopefully apply that in an actual setting, but one in which you're not personally involved in. Remove some emotion from it, and hopefully add some insight from your other experience brought to this one situation. Secondly, it's a way of helping a church that's currently undergoing a self-study, and hopefully some of the things that are generated in workshopping this case can be helpful, in fact, to that congregation as it looks at both itself and its community and tries to define for itself new strategies, new means of doing mission and ministry where it is located and in the context in which it finds itself. Just a couple of comments. I have reduced to a page and a half what was literally days of work on the part of an outside consultant who'd previously been to the congregation, as well as some extensive demographic data that we pulled out of a computer system. Just one mention, too, of the use of consultants. I think that there are oftentimes in the life of a local church a point where an outside consultant can be extremely beneficial, both to help that congregation see more of itself, and also to help it work through whatever changes need to be put into place. There's an old saw about a consultant being a person who borrows your watch to tell you what time it is, but in a much less cynical sense, the outside consultant can often be a new window of opportunity if he does his job right, and if the congregation uses his skills properly. On the table, the resource table back there, there is a brief sheet on a new program within the Synod led by Paul Heineke, who is a former mission exec in the Michigan District, to develop internal church consultants who are either staff members at the district level or other church workers who have other employment and don't need to rely on their consultancy as their total livelihood. One of the biggest problems with using consultants is that in most cases they cost considerably more money than many congregations and particularly small urban or minority churches can afford. I think Rog Lienertz and some foresight saw the need to develop those consultants internally. And so there's information on that program as well as a couple of demographic resources from which I took the data for this particular case study. I would ask all of you to, again, as Dr. Costin did yesterday, to arrange yourself so that there's a mix at each table in terms of local people, district people, staff people at the national level or whatever, again, so that we get a cross-breeding of ideas here.
The questions under discussion are, number one, what strengths are evident in St. Paul congregation? Number two, what roadblocks might prevent St. Paul's from realizing or developing its strengths? Number three, how can potential roadblocks be overcome? Number four, what elements of the community present opportunities for St. Paul's? Number five, what could prevent those opportunities from being developed? And number six, how can those potential problems be overcome?
Okay, at our table we came up with number one, high priorities on maintaining family atmosphere, vacation Bible school, relative youth of the congregation, friendliness of the congregation, racial makeup, good geographical location, positive attitude toward the congregation. Number two, what roadblocks might prevent St. Paul from revitalizing or developing its strength? We said spiritual growth, physical appearance of the building, lack of respect from the community, subsidization, inflexible worship style, projected decline of population due to housing and lack of education. Number three, the potential roadblocks to overcome. Start neighborhood housing group, start evangelism and outreach, witness workshop, adult basic education toward GED. Number four, what elements of the community presents opportunities for St. Paul, new housing, geographical location, established daycare in parentheses due to female-headed households, community center for children, nucleus of middle-class black families. Number five, what could prevent those opportunities from being developed? Leadership, lack of funds to build new housing, shift in priority and safety. Some of the potential problems to be overcome would be corporate transportation, active participation in city planning, other directives, programs that would interest all age level with strong emphasis on building strong Bible classes.
Good. Okay. This side?
I'm up. Strong VBS program. The congregation's well established in 18, whatever it was. It's got a long history. Shut up back here. It's got a long history in the community, and so it's well known. It's there. They don't have to establish an identity. They already have an identity within the community. Accessibility is a very strong point. I know how strong that is in Indianapolis, where we're right off the interstate. It can be a very good drawing card. They don't have any property debt, and the renovations in the inner city area are all strong points. As far as roadblocks, number one might be something we just about overlooked it. They have a very grievous problem in the area of support for the pastoral office. And it has a history, apparently, that started some years before. And that's not to be minimized. Any program the congregation undertakes will, of necessity, it has to have a strong support for the pastoral office, the leadership of the one the Lord has put in their midst. And if that is lacking, the congregation will be butting heads with the pastor, he'll be butting heads with them, and unity is not going to be achieved in any purpose, any goal. So that's a very severe problem. The worship style is very severe. The congregation lists that perhaps as the worst problem they have, or the most major thing that they would like to see change. I would put that second under the support for the pastoral, and then worship style. It seems that we had a suggestion from Germany here that two services might be established. That comes down under another question, but I'll throw it in here. Two services might be established because they have a small minority group there of elderly white people who probably, we're assuming, like the liturgical Lutheran worship style of worship. And also the community has pockets of European white background people who might be drawn into the congregation as well, if there were an opportunity for them to worship in that style. And the blacks membership might be happier and might group together in a stronger fellowship if they had a form of worship they could appreciate. They have under roadblocks, they've got a vacant lot. Vacant lots are non-productive. They've got a house that's not paying anything back to them. It's got a family in it, but behind in the rent, so it's really non-productive for them. And the community around them is going to have a heavy influence on the young people in the congregation as far as drugs, alcohol, things like this, which can be roadblocks in their way. How can these roadblocks be overcome? Turn the vacant lot into something, maybe a ballpark for the kids. Utilize the house in a way that will return something to the congregation. Maybe turning it into a teen center or a center for unwed mothers was one possibility mentioned, or some kind of a community service thing that would be a drawing card for the congregation, a service to the community, return something rather than being empty and useless.
Okay. We need to hurry up, so
okay.
Just shorten your answers.
And okay. And then, let's see. We kind of skipped on by number four there. Number five, what could prevent opportunities, elements in the community that present opportunity, what could prevent opportunities from being developed? The lack of the strong leadership in the pastoral office and in the congregation, the disunity, a need for maybe some kind of a peace in the parish or something, kind of a program to strengthen them up. And that's about covers it.
Real quickly.
Number one, going to skip that because everything we had was already mentioned, except the fact that it did say that the membership had a very positive attitude about the church. Number two, everything we had was also mentioned so far, except a couple other roadblocks. Being subsidized, even though they had no debt, they were subsidized. And then the fact that the majority of the church members didn't live in the immediate area of the church. Number three, how do you overcome those roadblocks? One was, the roadblock was women as head of household, single head of household, and you could provide babysitting or a daycare. Another roadblock was the isolation from the community, the church being isolated from the community, developing more social ministry outreach programs and concerns. The closing of the school was a roadblock. There were some negative feelings, maybe opening a preschool or a daycare to overcome that. Number four, elements of the community present opportunities. I think most of ours, again, were mentioned by the other two speakers. Number five, what could prevent those opportunities from being developed? One, again, was if you didn't have strong pastoral leadership. Another one was that people really didn't have the vision for what the church should be doing in that community. And number six, how can these potential problems be overcome? A lot of it had to do with we felt they need to determine what their mission is, a mission statement, and to study the Word of God, to pray about that, to have vital worship for their community.
I think we're gonna have to go.
And stress more on evangelism, social ministry concerns.
Okay, good, good. I will be around to pick up from your recorder the sheets, and we will enclose copies of the finalized versions in any post-symposium mailing, as well as handing it over to St. Paul's congregation. We need to break right now for chapel.
Professor Kripke.
Being at the table where the pastor of St. Paul's is located, we got a couple we'd like to add quickly, if we could.
Well, it's your time.
Okay. Under number one, the school, certainly a strength, then ties with the Otis Woodard Ministries, and then also the worship being liturgical and not freestyle is a preference of many blacks from the in worship. Let's see. Number three, trustees giving firm leadership in regard to the problem with the parsonage and the junk and the vacant lot and so forth. And then on number four, community opportunities, the possibility of the adult education, tutorial program in reading, influx of new people, great number of children in the community, and the Catholic school is closing in the neighborhood. 60% of the neighborhood is estimated as unchurched. And then on the sixth one, overcoming problems, one good way is according to Chaplain Plump, doing business in such a way as is not sloppy, but organized, managed, honest. But that's helpful.
Okay. Chapel will begin in approximately 8 minutes. We ask that you proceed to the Winnicken Hall Auditorium for chapel. And we will immediately after chapel and come back here for our coffee break and to hear Dr. McCall. Thank you.